Hi everybody, I'm Kali and I'm a compulsive reader. And I'm grateful to be here with you all, and I'm grateful for to Rich for asking me to share tonight. And just to get present with you, I'm feeling a bit run down at the moment. I'm on day 9 of a 14-day work week, and the great or the gratifying thing about today is that I didn't have any urges to have food that to deal with a difficult day at work. And that's a miracle for somebody like me. Just to give you guys a bit of an introduction, starting with some data, just so we can get that over with. I started coming to Overeaters Anonymous in 2013. I've had several relapses, which I'll talk about. I've attempted to work the program in several different ways, and as of December 22nd, 2022, I surrendered to this process in a way that I had never surrendered before. And today, I am 2 years and 6 months abstinent. And I am down 178 pounds, and I have a life today which I have food neutrality. And so just to share you what it looked like on December 21st of 2022, let me share my screen as soon as I figure out where the picture is. Okay. So I don't know if you guys can see that. That's what it looked like for me at December 21st, 2022. And that was me wanting to live. When I came into OA in 2013, I didn't even look like this. I had gained more weight in OA than I did before OA. And so I'll get to that experience in a bit. But my relationship with using food as a solution to deal with life, which is what I call the beginnings of my compulsive overeating, probably started long. Well, not probably. It started long before I found food as a solution. At some point in my life, I'd like to think it was maybe when I was yelled at 6 years old and I could no longer just be myself. But it was probably even earlier. When I realized that I could cry and somebody would respond and give me something. That point in my life, I started a process in relationship with me, in which I had to find a way to deal with the fact that when I'm uncomfortable, I don't know how to get through life and just show up and be with another human being. I now needed to try to control things, or I tried to make you guys laugh, or I tried to have be super charismatic, or I tried to hide. All these different things were just because I was uncomfortable with the moment that I was in and didn't know how to deal with that. And then in my story, add the fact that I was sexualized at a very early age. I was molested at 8 years old, and that introduced a relationship to shame and secrets and hiding. And what I didn't realize until I had started a process of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't realize that it also introduced me to this idea that I could solve my problems by finding some way of either finding pleasure or finding oblivion, right? If I could disappear, then everything would be okay. And that first started with me in a different behavior, which I'll leave out of this meeting only because this is a meeting of compulsive readers anonymous. And but around 13 or 14, it became food. And first, it was food in which I realized that there was a lot of focus on what I wanted to eat in the family. And so, of course, I wanted to eat all the fried stuff. I wanted to eat all the sweet stuff. And I had a relationship with food where very early on, my mom, she worried a lot. And there was a period of time where I wouldn't eat when I was very, very young. And she would make deals with me to get me to eat stuff. And at first that was a situation with more food, but then at some point that became a relationship in which I realized that what we were having for dinner was probably going to be up to me. And so it became a lot of fried food, a lot of fried a lot of me eating desserts before my vegetables, because if I had my vegetables, I could have my desserts. And so I figured out if I could just do that, I'd be able to eat what I really wanted, which was the desserts. And then at some point I stopped eating the vegetables and just started eating the desserts. And so I don't want to spend a whole lot more time on what it was like, but just to rush you through the next 30 years or so, I developed a relationship in which I discovered that I could hide if I ate enough and started to put on weight around my body, because there was a part of me that was just afraid of being seen. And then I discovered that I was attracted to women, and there were women at the time, girls, because I was a boy, at the time, who didn't really see me because I was a certain weight. And then I started to eat because I wasn't being seen. So I'm eating because I want to hide, and now I'm eating because I'm not being seen. And then I discovered that I also eat when I'm bored. I also eat when I'm tired. I also eat when I'm angry. I also eat when I'm sad. I also eat when I'm happy. I eat. And the way that I eat becomes a process by which later on in this experience of dealing with food, it became something that I thought I could control. It became something that I thought I could manage. But it usually involved a lot of food, or it usually involved using food in weird ways. And I would do it whether I was trying to eat or whether I was trying to starve. Either way, there was an attempt to try to control my relationship to food. I'm not a bulimic, but I definitely have throwing up in part of my story. I've eaten out of the trash. I steal food, or I've stolen food. I've done a lot of the things that I've heard shared about in these rooms. And that was before I found the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. When I came to Compulsive Overeaters Anonymous, I heard a message that first started with me hearing a message in a different program, and that message was that I didn't have to eat the way that I was eating, but I had to engage in a process in which to have that experience. And you all told me that it worked. But at the time, I was so focused on whether or not you liked me or what you thought about me, in which I was then focused on engaging in this process to try and get an A. So I found a sponsor, and that sponsor told me that in order for me to be able to really have an experience of freedom with the food, I had to get in the center of the herd, so get in the middle of the program, which meant three to more meetings a week, which meant working with a sponsor through the steps and identifying at that time, which was my alcoholic foods, my red light, yellow light, and green light foods, but then also being of service at three meetings at the meeting level, right? So I had to do all those things and also reach out to people in order to get some relief. And, 6 months into that process, I was down 70 pounds. I was over 300 pounds at the time. And before I knew it, I was down 70 pounds and I was on step six. And then I got a great idea. And that great idea was that I was going to stop listening to what my sponsor suggested. I was going to try to do things my way. And at some point, that sponsor said that that he had to move on and I had to find another sponsor. And so, that then led to another great idea, which is that, I'm down 70 pounds, so I deserve, thank you, I heard
10
that,
minutes. Yep.
I deserve a cup of frozen yogurt. And that cup of frozen yogurt turned into 110-pound weight gain in a year and a few months. Because the way that I eat, or the way that I began to eat in program, because here's the thing, once I discovered what my red light, yellow light, green light foods were, I knew exactly the foods I needed to go to when I wanted to hurt myself. And that's where I went. I went nose deep dive into that food, into those foods. And so began this experience in program of me trying to work different ways of working the program. So there was red light, yellow light, green light. There was no sugar, no flour. There was no binging. There was this experience at that point, in which I decided that another great idea, that I was going to kill myself with food. And that was what 2015 became, me attempting to work a program in which I ate until I was no longer on this planet. And that was the plan. And prior to that, I had engaged with this thing called the third step prayer, and I was asked to sit in a park and contemplate what that meant. And so the third step prayer is, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me, to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. And what I thought about at that time was, because I was also by that time, I was also a blackout drinker. I was also a marijuana addict. I was also a sex and love addict. I was all these other things. And I had let go a lot of those things, but I still was holding on to the food. And what I got present to at that park when my sponsor asked me to sit there and think about what I wanted to, what that meant, right? That prayer, what that meant. What I got present to is this little kid inside of me that didn't know how I was going to deal with life if I didn't have food. And that little kid said, I don't wanna. And so began a process of me doing less, not more, of the things that I described. I started going to less meetings. I started reaching out to less people. I started to take back what you guys had shown me had worked in all these different ways. And I decided that I was just going to hurt myself. And so in January of 2016, when I woke up on January 1st and was still here, I said, now what? And so my next great idea was to just leave the rooms altogether, because you know what? This doesn't work. Now, I just described to you losing 70 pounds, working a process, but my mind was telling me that this process doesn't work, right? Because now I'm 110 pounds heavier. I'm now in that shame and guilt and fear that I described, that I had learned about early on in my life. And I'm thinking that the only way to deal with this process or deal with this reality is just to not be in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. And so I was gone from 2016 to 2019. And what happened in that experience is I continued to have sobriety. I continued to have some abstinence in other programs, but I kept eating, and I kept getting more miserable and more miserable and more miserable. And so there were a lot of depressions. There were a lot of experiences of just saying, I guess this is what my life's going to look like. And then for whatever reason, in 2019, because those of you who knew me stayed connected to me, even when I didn't stay connected to you, I heard somebody just say, well, why don't you just come back to a meeting? Why don't you just give it a shot? And so I came back to a meeting and I began to talk about what I didn't want to do in this program, right? I didn't want to work a program. I didn't want to do what you guys do, right? I wanted to be able to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And that process in 2019 helped me to get introduced to this plan of eating or way of working the program called No Unilateral Food Decisions, also known as sober eating. And in that process, I discovered that I needed to have not just a method of which to deal with my life in which I don't use food, but I also needed access to power. And I can't access that power on my own, right? So I need a power that's greater than me to help me access that power. And I discovered that the first way to access that power was through my food. Because I didn't realize that I'd become a liar until I started sending pictures of my food to that sponsor. I didn't realize that I became somebody that tried to manipulate his way around life until I started sending pictures of how I dealt with my food to my sponsor. And I also didn't realize that it was through that process of my food that so began this experience in which I got to show up and start living life in a different way. And guess what? It wasn't enough, right? Because on the 20th, 5 more minutes. Thank you. On the 2020 March, I woke up in the middle of the night. Now here's the thing. Working this other this process, because every time I've worked a process, whether it was red light, yellow light, green light, whether it was no sugar, no flour, whether it was no binging, or whether it was now sober eating, every time that I had done what was suggested that I do and I took those actions, I found relief. Not only did I find relief, I saw the weight start to come off, right? And so here I was in March of 2020, the weight's now coming off with the sober eating process. I'm now down 50 pounds. And I woke up in the middle of the night, right, without even thinking about it. And this is me wanting to live. I woke up in the middle of the night and had a snack. Now, it was not an abstinent snack because at that time, through sober eating, I discovered that if I have 3 meals and 2 snacks, then I can get through the day without craving food, right? But I had to discover that there was no yellow light foods for me because I ate yellow light foods like they were green, they were like they were red light foods. There were no, so I couldn't have yellow light foods. So I had to have alcoholic foods and I had to have non-alcoholic foods. So in that discovery, I also discovered that there was still behaviors that I had to pay attention to and abstain from, but also engage with in order to be able to not have an experience in which I was going to foods. And so here I was in March of 2020, and I woke up in the middle of the night without any thought at all. And I had a snack outside of the realm of when I was supposed to have that snack. And so when I got through trying to convince my sponsor that I should still hold on to my abstinence at the time, and he said, "Well, what do you think you should do?" And I recognized that I needed to reset my time. Another great idea came in, and I decided that that was the time I was going to have some fried fish. And so 6 or 8 fried fish meals later on that following Monday, so began a process in which I gained 120 pounds in 7 months. And that was ultimately what I needed, the pain that I needed to get into to have an experience of starting to do something different. But there was something else that happened on that day in March that I didn't realize that I needed to also engage with, that I have now engaged with today in a totally different way. Because a friend of mine, when I had that relapse in March 2020, what he said to me was, "I don't know what it's going to take for you to have faith that maybe that your higher power can help you with this situation." And what I said to him is that I don't know what you're talking about because I struggle with faith, because I don't trust, I don't do all these things, and I don't do blah, 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 blah. And what he said to me was, "You know what? What was told to me is that it didn't matter what I thought. It didn't matter what I believed. It didn't matter what I said. It only mattered the actions that I took. And if I took those actions, that I could have an experience in which I was free from this food obsession." And I was like, "Okay, I'll see you on Monday." And so 120 pounds later, me wanting to live, right, got me into a place where by that point, I'm 422 pounds. I can't walk down the block. I can't clean myself properly. I get up from the couch and I'm immediately at the emergency room because I pull a muscle in my hip, right? And that was the experience of me thinking that that was going to be the rest of my life. But because you guys stayed connected to me, because you guys continued to reach out to me, because you guys didn't give up on me, I kept coming back to meetings, right? I kept coming, I kept showing up. And at some point in that process, I found the enough pain to ask someone else for help. And then when that person told me that I was a taker and that I had to learn how to be a giver to life, I then ate at that person to the point where on December 21st, I couldn't stop eating. And it was in that process of not being able to stop eating that I discovered this idea of complete defeat, right? Like, I am screwed when it comes to food. I just told you, whether I want to live or whether I want to die, whether I want to be seen or whether I want to hide, I'm going to use food to deal with life, right? So I need a power and a method in order to get through my day without using food. And so how do I achieve that process? How do I achieve that power? Well, I don't achieve it without help, and I need help from you, right? So I have to utilize those 9 tools that we read earlier. I have to utilize the process of showing up to a meeting and allowing myself to be seen and heard and known. Because at my core, I want to do it my way. At my core, I don't want you to see me. But what I realize is that if I actually lean into the process of recognizing that I am a compulsive overeater who suffers from not only a mental, and I'll wrap up, who not only suffers from a mental obsession, but also a physical allergy, that's my alcoholism, right? And so I need access to power that only shows up in the process of surrender. But I don't surrender until I'm in pain. But in pain and in that surrender, what happened was I discovered that God is not just a power that's greater than myself that may be high in the sky or maybe within me, but God is also a group of drunks. God is also the gift of desperation. God is also good orderly direction. And I can't take good orderly direction until I have the gift of desperation. And I can't get to the gift of desperation unless I'm around a group of drunks. So I'm just grateful that I'm around all of you as compulsive overeaters because you guys can help me see that if I just lean into this process one meal at a time with you helping me, I can have an experience in which one day at a time I don't have to eat over dealing with life. And that is how today I can have a difficult day where I'm exhausted and tired and still I had two meals and one of my snacks, and I have a meal and a snack to go. And I have the willingness to show up and hopefully share something that will help somebody in this room. So I'm sorry for going over, but thanks for listening. And I appreciate you, Rich, for asking me to share.